Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Hey, thank you, and welcome back on board On the Mark. It's a Tuesday. It's still raining, so we're going to. It's a great day to spend inside and comment on events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley, which you can do by giving us a call at 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. You are more than welcome to call. Love to hear from you on any topic today. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM at the start of your message. And we want to remind you that we are brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. You know, we all know that SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have a whole passel of awesome technicians ready to serve you, they need more due to the tremendous amount of business they've gained over their 107 years. They are looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, the car and light truck service departments, the heavy truck service, body, frame, and alignment, and towing departments. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician, or looking for your very first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person or apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. That's Todd at 286-7746. The hotlines are open. If you want to comment on things from yesterday, give us a call. We have one unfinished business text from yesterday regarding John Fetterman. It says, has Fetterman ever explained why he won't or can't abide by the traditional dress code? The ties and shoes aren't comfortable. The shirts have buttons. Hey, why not wear them? Well, I guess that's something we'll just have to ask Senator Fetterman if we can ever get him to appear on the program. But I think the chances of that are slim to none. So what's the big news today? Well, the big story, and we had hoped to get somebody, Scott McFarland from CBS, on to talk about the looming government shutdown. Here we go again. As Casey Stengel said, deja vu all over again. We're talking about shutting down the government. The Republicans remind me, and I'm a lifelong Republican, of the dog that chases a car, finally catches it, now doesn't know what to do with it. Four or five Republican hardliners in the Freedom Caucus just won't make any kind of a deal. And now President Donald Trump has said, if you don't get what you want, shut down the government. Gee, whatever happened to the art of compromise, the art of the deal? That doesn't sound like much of a deal, Donald. I'm sorry. We don't just say, I'm going to take my ball and go home if I don't get what I want. We should be working for some kind of a solution that benefits everybody. Now, if the Democrats aren't willing to work with you, if they aren't willing to come halfway, at least halfway, then I think you have maybe a decent argument for shutting the government down, if there ever can be a decent argument for shutting it down. And heaven knows, many of us, I always like what Will Rogers said about Congress. He said the people feel about Congress the same way they feel when the baby gets a hold of a hammer. You know nothing good is going to come from it when they're in session. At least most of the time, nothing good comes from it. But I do think that, you know, they can be responsible down there. They can be reasonable. They can work across the aisle to try to arrive at something that's fair and equitable to everybody. Yes, the Republicans want to cut government spending, and God knows they should. We can't afford these trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt. We just can't. Somebody has to do something. Somebody has to say enough is enough. Somebody has to be the adult in the room and say we've got to rein in this spending. Now, let's face it, the Biden administration has done literally nothing to work with the Republicans across the aisle, and maybe the Republicans brought some of that on themselves. I don't know. But the border's out of control. I mean, let's face it, the border is completely out of control. And then we're going to give Kamala Harris another job? No, I don't think so. She didn't handle the one she's got right now very well. In any event, this is the topic that I think is going to drive the discussion over the next couple of days. And I think one of the things that interests me is what would happen during a shutdown. In the event of a shutdown, many government operations would come to a halt, but some services deemed essential would continue. Federal agencies have contingency plans that serve as a roadmap for what will continue and what will stop. The White House Office of Management and Budget will formally initiate the process of preparing for a shutdown on Friday, sending a communication to agencies reminding them to review and update their shutdown plans. Government operations and services that continue during a shutdown are activities deemed necessary to protect public safety and national security or considered crucial for other reasons. Examples of services that have continued during past shutdowns include border protection, federal law enforcement, and air traffic control. Well, thank God for those three. Federal employees whose work is deemed non-essential would be put on furlough. That means they would not work and would not receive their pay during the shutdown. Employees whose jobs are deemed essential would continue to work, but they would not be paid during the shutdown. Once a shutdown is over, federal employees who were required to work and those who were furloughed will receive back pay. In the past, back pay for furloughed employees was not guaranteed, though Congress could and did act to ensure those workers were compensated for lost wages once a shutdown ended. Now, however, back pay for furloughed workers is automatically granted as a result of legislation led by Senator Ben Cardin, a Maryland Democrat, that was enacted in 2019. Employees deemed essential and required to work were already guaranteed back pay after a shutdown prior to the passage of that legislation. So there we are. That's what's likely to happen. And I think that that would not be good. I don't think people should be asked to work without being paid. And how would you feel it if you were a government worker and you were deemed non-essential? Seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Stanley, you're on the mark from Danville.
Well, if certain jobs in the government are essential, and I do believe Border Patrol, although they're not being allowed to do their job, the military, maybe the FBI, yes, they're pretty essential to keep the, you know, the quote, people safe in America, although some of them are failing. Okay, they're essential, and they'll get back pay. Great. The other ones, non-essential, that's the word we're going to use. If they're non-essential, why do we have them employed?
Well, I think it's from the standpoint that their jobs can be done at some other time. They don't need to be done on a particular day. I mean, let's face it, law enforcement, if you're not there when the crime's being committed, you might as well not be there at all. So,
No.
On the other hand, if you're filling out forms, rubber stamping forms, and sending them on to another place, that probably could wait till tomorrow.
When has law enforcement ever been at the scene of a crime when it's happening? It's very rare, isn't it?
Well, let's put it this way. They should be around in order to help apprehend those people who are committing crimes.
I don't disagree with that, but it's very rarely that they're actually at the scene of the crime. Now, the Border Patrol is at the scene of the crime every day, and they're not being allowed to do their job, which is to repel the invaders to this country. Okay? So are they really essential since we're not using them to their full capacity and allowing them to do their job? Do we really need them? Joe's just left the border open, says, come on in, turn it over to the cartels.
Here's the problem with that. We do have a government. The government exists for a reason. If we want to argue about whether or not things are essential or non-essential, that's a debate we can have legitimately. But on the other hand, shutting the government down, I don't see it does anybody any good. I mean, if you're not going to get what you want in the end, if the Republicans are not going to convince the majority of Democrats in the United States Senate to cut back on spending and to support what they do, it doesn't really matter. All we're doing is we're the dog chasing his tail again. We're just going around in a circle.
Right there you said the problem, okay? This is all going to get blamed on Republicans, correct? We know it is. It's just the way it is. The news media is geared up, so it's all the Republicans' fault. But there's another house down there in the Congress. It's called the Senate.
Right.
Okay, so they are 50% responsible for any shutdown because they are too unwilling to come together and cut spending. I'm sorry, we're $33 trillion plus in debt, okay? We will never come out of this in our lifetime, Joe. My kids' lifetimes, their kids' lifetimes, and their grandkids' lifetimes. We will never climb out of this hole that we keep digging ourselves into. And the Republicans in the House, some of them, are willing to take the spears and arrows and say, we need to cut spending, period. But who is against them? Who is against them? Who's lining up against them? It tends to be the Democrats. And I don't understand why. Where do they think all this money come from? We spend billions of dollars so far in the last 2 years in Ukraine because the man in the White House is too weak to do anything about stopping the war there. Okay, it should have never happened, but his weakness shown in Afghanistan is why the war happened. Period. I don't care what anybody says, that's why it happened. Because he didn't stand up and say, no, this isn't going to happen, because he showed pure weakness when he withdrew from Afghanistan.
All right, well, that's all well and good. I got no problem with you saying that, and I buy into at least the majority of it. But here's the thing. We shut down the government, you know, and the Republicans demand this or that, and they don't get it. And sooner or later, it becomes apparent that we've got to open the government up again. And so we do what we have always done in the past. We have come together with some cobbled-together bill that funds the government for a few days more, and we go on with business as usual. I mean, that is not a solution to the problem. If the Republicans are serious about solving the problem, then why don't they come up with a plan of their own, something that really shows how the deficit is going to be cut? All right, what is their plan? I've missed it. I'm sorry.
Their plan is to cut spending, period.
How?
That's all the plan needs to be.
Come on, Sam. Well, what spending? What spending? That's the devil's always in the details.
What, spending?
Yeah.
We continue to spend more every year. Okay, let's cut the foreign aid, period. All foreign aid needs to go to zero. Well, that's billions upon billions of dollars. We don't need to be sending money over to foreign countries, and they're sending all our their derelict people here. They're crossing the border, and then we got to take care of them here. So please explain to me how that works. We send foreign aid to... What do they say? There's people coming across our southern border from over 100 different countries.
Okay, how much?
If you look on USAID, we send millions upon millions of dollars every year to those foreign countries.
How much is that going to save us? What's the total amount we've just saved?
I don't care. Billions. Hundreds of billions. It doesn't matter. It's savings. And then we need to start on the welfare programs in this country.
Well, let's take these one at a time. So we've cut down foreign aid right now, and the Russians and the Chinese communists are in there pumping money to these people, saying, these Americans don't care. Americans don't care about you. We do. We're going to give you money.
Speaking of which, why are we sending foreign aid to China?
Because
USAID.gov. It's there. Look it up.
They're a foreign country, hence foreign aid.
And they're trying to usurp us in the world, aren't they? In the economics and the military front. Well, but we're sending them foreign aid. We're probably sending foreign aid to Russia. I won't say that for sure, but I do know we're sending it to China.
I can't imagine what we would send to Russia if we supposedly have all these sanctions in place that will bring them to their knees. We're still waiting for them to get down there.
Well, I did say we were, but it wouldn't surprise me. I'd have to look it up on USAID.gov. It's there, the list of it. All the countries we send millions upon millions of dollars to, and China is included in that. And I'd really like to know why. So we're wasting money, which we don't have, by the way. Do we have the billions upon billions of dollars we're sending to Ukraine? No, we're borrowing it. And now the interest rates have gone through the roof. So what are we doing? It's costing us more every year to cover that, isn't it?
All right. So you know, I agree with you that spending is out of control. I couldn't agree with you more on that. But I don't think the way to stop it is to say you're going to shut down the government unless you get what you want. Unless there is on both sides of the aisle, unless there's a realization that we can't keep spending like drunken sailors, and I don't mean to insult drunken sailors, but we've got to rein in the spending. I agree with you. The question becomes how we do it. And then the question becomes, which monies do we cut? You could say, okay, we cut foreign aid. Somebody else says, oh, no, you can't cut foreign aid. That's essential. All right, we take care of welfare programs. Oh, you can't cut them. People will die. You know, for every argument you can give me, there is a counter argument from somebody somewhere that says that money can't be cut. And until
we send the big boys and girls to Congress, to the House and Senate, to make those hard decisions
than what their constituents want.
But they don't want to make the hard decisions.
They just want
to pass the buck.
We send them there to get gold bars and to stuff money in envelopes in their house. I mean, that's why we send them there, and to get reelected time after time after time. That's what we're doing.
Is that it? Dang.
Yeah.
Dang, dang. Hey, I wish I thought about that years ago. I would have ran. But anyways, back to the shutdown. All the people that are non-essential are going to be furloughed, they say. And they will get back pay. I'm sorry. If they're non-essential and they get laid off, which is what they're doing, they're getting laid off. If I get laid off at my job, I get to get on the unemployment system and I collect unemployment. But that's not good enough for our government employees?
Apparently not.
Oh, so that's a problem. So again, once again, it's what's good for the goose isn't good enough for the gander. Okay, because everybody else out there in the world has to collect unemployment when they get laid off.
Hey, listen, we got to move, but you got to thank Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland. He's the one that enacted that legislation that pays them, whether they're there or not.
You know, I don't have a problem with the people that actually continue working getting paid, but the ones getting laid off, they're laid off. Tough beans.
But
live with it.
But
get unemployment like everybody else
but
does.
They're more than, as far as we know, they're more than willing to continue working. It's the government, the politicians who have said to them, hey, we don't have work for you because we're going to shut the government down to get our point across.
The unions are on strike at the auto companies. If they go too far, I'll be laid off because of it.
Yeah,
but I'm willing to work, so what the heck does that prove?
Well, ask Joe Biden. He's going out and standing in the picket line.
That'll be a joke.
Hey,
anyway, have a great day.
You too, Stan. Thanks. Always fun talking to you. Give us a call. Weigh in on this. We'd like to know where you stand. Should we shut the government down to prove a point, or should we be responsible adults and try and find some way to cut the spending, do all the things we need to do while still keeping the government open? That's an open question for the day. 570-743-9565. It's an open day. You can change the topic if you want to. Give us a call at 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but put OTM at the start of your message.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call 1-800-354-9416. That's 1-800-354-9416. Again, 1-800-354-9416.
Hi, this is JP from Shimock's Furniture World. When you've been selling happiness since 1915, you're always looking for ways to keep the happiness going. We think you'll be pretty happy with what we've done. I'm talking about our new, much larger location in Mount Carmel. If you haven't stopped in yet, this is my personal invitation to do so. We now have 56,000 square feet to be able to showcase more bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, recliners, mattresses, and accessories. More styles and more options for every taste and decor, all while still offering incredible prices and service. Of course, we still still offer free delivery, setup, and removal of your old furniture. Now you can really shop for furniture locally in a big, beautiful showroom without the big city prices. See why we've been voted Reader's Voice Best Furniture Store 8 years in a row. And experience our new beautiful location at 121 East 5th Street in Mount Carmel, just one block off Route 61. So please accept my invitation and stop by Shimock's Furniture World, where we've been selling happiness since 1915.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. We're brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. The hotlines are open at 570-743-9565. Text us at at 70236. Wait a second, lost my sheet. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com, okay? We do have an email that says, regarding pending government shutdown, best I can tell, there's four to five adults in the room. The other gazillion swamp creatures are just that. They are swamp creatures. To quote Saul Alinsky in his book Rules for Radicals, never let a good crisis go to waste. This is the Swamp Creatures Handbook, 18 Rules for Radicals by the Marxist Saul Alinsky. Not just Democrats, it's Republicans too. They're all swamp beasts except for the select few adults in the room, signed by Gene. Gene, who are those adults in the room? Do they have names? I'd be interested in hearing who you think they are. I just don't see that we gain anything by playing this game over and over and over again. You know, yes, the Republicans want to cut spending. No, the Democrats don't. So what do we do? The ultimate answer has to be, is probably, that we give one party or the other a supermajority in the Congress of the United States and the United States Senate, and so that they can't be overridden. You know, if they decide that they're going to cut spending, they cut it, and the president can't veto it. And then the party gets to say, this is the rules. What is it? They always say the minority has its say, but the majority gets its way. Well, maybe that's what we have to do. This divided government, I always used to think that divided government worked best, that having, let's say, a Democratic president and a Republican House and a Republican Senate, or the other way around, some combination of there, not giving any party the ultimate power to control everything. I always thought that was good. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it isn't so good. Maybe what we need to do is pick a philosophy in this country, go to the polls and vote for it, and then hope that we've elected enough of the people who believe, as we do, that this is what should happen, that we get something done. Maybe that would be the way to do it. But in any event, I thought it was very interesting. The debate also is centered around now about whether the Speaker of the House is going to be retained. And I found this interview that I thought was very fascinating this morning. It was with Representative Ralph Norman on the Budget Committee. He's talking to Jim Acosta on CNN, and they're talking about the government shutdown and Kevin McCarthy.
McCarthy had some choice words for members of your conference, the Republican conference, his own party. Let's listen to what he told reporters on Thursday.
It's frustrating in the sense that I don't understand why anybody votes against bringing the idea and having the debate. And then you got all the amendments that you don't like to do. This is a whole new concept of individuals that just want to burn the whole place down. It doesn't work.
Congressman, the speaker there saying there are members of your conference who want to burn the whole place down. Are you one of those members who wants to burn the whole place down? It sounds like he's calling you an arsonist.
No, look, it's not about Kevin McCarthy. Kevin should have had us working in July and August to come up with an agreement on the spending bills. And he had agreed in January to do that, to get us on a downward spending trajectory. He just hasn't done that. He's been in Congress 17 years. Now, we either have gone to face a reality, and he calls frustrated with us. The American people are frustrated with the way government has not worked and the way government politicians have spent their money. And so,
but how can you and other Freedom Caucus members drive this hard line here? How can others in your caucus demand that you have this position that everybody has to go along with when you don't have the numbers?
Well, we passed a DOD bill out, and it didn't have the numbers. Look, it's all about the economic security, and anybody that doesn't see what's going on at the border and doesn't know that this country is, we're at a tipping point, and we either handle it or we don't.
But government employees won't be getting paychecks. Members of the military won't be getting paychecks. members of the Border Patrol down on the border won't be getting paychecks. You're comfortable with that?
That's not right. They're going to get back pay whenever we open back up, and we will open back up. Look, Jim, the sun's going to still shine. The oceans.
But that's real pain that they're going to be going through. I mean,
in and out.
Are you going to get paid?
Yes, Congress gets paid. I didn't write the Constitution. I'm not that old. But I'll tell you this is, there are Americans living paycheck to paycheck. And I you can agree or disagree with it, but
a lot of members of the military are living paycheck to paycheck. If they're not getting paid, you say they're going to get back pay. If they're living paycheck to paycheck, that doesn't sound too good for members of the military, members of the Border Patrol.
No, it's not. No, well, the border, no, it's not. But ask any, you mentioned Border Patrol, they're so frustrated with what this administration's doing to let everybody and everybody in this country. It's just not right. And we're on tap to have 15 million illegals in this country. As we see, how's that working out in New York? It's not. And so we're tying the border security now to Homeland Security. We're going to do that on every appropriations bill to get a number, and we'll see where it goes. Everybody listening to this show ought to call the senator, because that's who we're going to put it back on. And thank God, finally, Schumer's getting booed, AOC's getting booed, the American
public.
But are you
prepared to take responsibility for this? Because we were talking to John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor, in a previous hour on this program, who said typically when the government shuts down, Republicans get blamed for it. Isn't that what's going to happen this time around? Are you prepared to shoulder that blame?
Look, this isn't about blame. This is about doing what's right for the country. And we're trying to do that. It's in business as usual. And, the fact that Americans are living paycheck to paycheck because of this Bidenomics, the one family is working for? Joe Biden and his family. No one else is working for him. And the 330 Americans don't deserve it. And all we're saying is, let's live like every business and every family does. Look at your spending and try to agree on it. And no, this will be the Senate's responsibility and the Democrats who have caused this crisis. And it shouldn't be at this point in the history of this country.
So there you have it. I find it interesting that he's willing to say the Republicans are probably going to get the blame, and we're just going to have to accept that and live with it. I don't think they have a plan to turn it around on the Democrats, and yet I think the Democrats obviously bear equal responsibility for this. I've said on this program a number of times before that my real issue is that we haven't decided what our national priorities really are. We have a whole bunch of things that are important to a whole bunches of people, but not everything is important to every single person. And I think we need to decide what it is we can afford. I'd like to see them start with saying this is the amount of money that the United States government takes in every year with this tax structure. And now what can we fund with that? And then look at the budget and determine whether or not it's better to cut things or to reduce the size of things, as one of our callers suggested. As a matter of fact, one of our texters says, the government is way too bloated, like an obese person. It's unhealthy and needs to lose weight. I say much of it needs to shut down permanently. Okay, well, maybe that's true. But, it depends on where we're going and how we're going to do it. I like what President Trump did when he said for every new regulation we have, we're going to cancel two. That's at least a start. We're cutting down on some things in the government. But we have so many bureaucracies. I mean, we have so many federal agencies looking into so many things. Some of them have got to be redundant. Some of them have got to be expendable. Some of them have got to be at least have their budgets trimmed way back and the number of people working in them cut way back. That would be a good start, before we start getting into entitlements, which are the third rail of American politics. Nobody is going to want their Social Security cut. I don't. Nobody's going to want their benefits cut. Always like they call them entitlements. Well, who says we're entitled to these things? John Kennedy used to say or said in his inaugural address, ask not what you can do for your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Do you ever hear anybody saying that anymore? Do we hear anybody saying, well, I'll give something up just for the benefit of my country? No, we don't hear that anymore. Maybe we didn't even hear it back then. But I do think the times that we've had a national purpose, after 9/11, for example, we have done better when we've come together as a country. We've done better when we've crossed over the aisles and tried to find joint solutions to our problems. Maybe that's too much to expect. In any event, you're not lighting up the phone lines on this topic, so we'll find something else to switch to. 570-743-9565. That's our hotline number. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lisa Barrick, what in tarnation is going on here?
Oh, they're all buyers clamoring for homes, and there are just not enough to go around.
Well, let's go get some listings. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. I'm here with Lisa Barrick, and this mob of people want to buy your house, so we're coming in.
Oh, my stars, I am so sorry. Chad, that is not the way it's done.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
If you're in the market to sell, contact me, Lisa Barrick, to schedule a calm and professional valuation of your home at CobaltBankerPen1.com.
Hey, this is Pastor Caleb Swartz from Christ Wesleyan Church.
No matter what you're facing, we care deeply about you.
Life can be difficult, whether it's cancer, divorce or separation, grief, serving as a caregiver, or supporting a loved one through incarceration or addiction. Support groups at Christ Wesleyan offer you community, encouragement, and guidance. Visit cwc.life/support to learn more. We'll walk with you because we've been there too.
Welcome back to On the Mark, 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. Dan from New Berlin, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, Joe. You know, the holdouts, as they're called, they're trying to get a handle on this overspending. And I do give them credit. They're the only ones that really want to do anything about it. Right, we're over $33 trillion, and how's that ever going to be paid back? It can't be. Unless we get a handle on it, if it's not too late now, it's almost too late. And I agree with what Trump said. Something has to be done. You got to hold out. We can't keep going like this.
But do you think, Dan, in all honesty, do you think that the Republicans holding out is going to move the Democrats in the Senate to say, oh, gee, we've been wrong all these years. Let's cut spending and give them what they want?
That's the problem. It's like our friend Stan said, this is going to be blamed on the five people or whatever trying to do something. They're going to blame it on them that they're the problem. And actually, the whole swamp that wants to keep spending us into oblivion is the problem down there. That's the real problem. And it's largely caused in the last couple years by the Biden administration not doing everything they could do to spend, and one third of the American people have so much credit card debt that they're living off their credit cards to meet household expenses because of the Biden administration war on fuel, for one thing. They have a war on oil, which makes our economy hum. And they have the open borders. Last month, August, 232,000 people came across the border and into the United States. We don't know who all they were, what they're up to, and they're just destroying the United States economy. And even the Democratic mayors are starting to complain about this overabundance of people coming in. We're destroying this administration is destroying this system of government, and people won't admit it. Democrats won't admit it. We were going better under Trump. We still needed some more things done under Trump, but now we're just going downhill so fast that it's almost, if not, it's out of control.
Well, President Trump's injected himself into this debate by saying that if the Republicans don't get everything they want, they should shut the government down. Do you agree with him?
Mostly. It's something that, I mean, is it going to be done? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to end up getting a compromise, but where does it stop?
Well, that's a good question. Where does it stop? Where should it stop? Where would you stop it?
Well, one thing, I sure wouldn't be putting money into another war that we don't intend on winning. We don't intend on winning that war. I wouldn't put a penny in that. And it's like you said, for every program that new statute that was made, President Trump would cut two down to a regulation, you know, and have two down if they made one. And that's a start in the right direction. But till we become oil friendly again and get this economy rolling, we're just going downhill so fast. And I know Trump had some debt too under his administration, but I understand that. But we're going so much faster right now that it's unbelievable.
Dan, do you think anybody could get elected president of the United States who said, we really need to cut our spending back, folks. We need to tighten our belts. We need to cut programs. Do you think they would really get elected? I mean, isn't staying in politics all about handing stuff out to people, giving them, buying their votes one way or another?
It certainly seemed to work, then, don't it?
Yep, it does.
And I think that Trump had the right ideas, and I think it could have went well, but then they came along with, I call it, the plandemic, and that really put a kibosh against everything.
Well, it didn't help. There's no argument there.
And Trump was on the right path. That kind of ruined things there, and now they want to bring it out again, though it's not working too good for them.
Let's hope we don't go through that again. Hey, Dan, we'll give you the last word, sir. Then we have another call we have to take.
Yeah, well, something has to be done on this, and I keep repeating that. And I think the five guys holding out, they're on the right path. I don't think it's going to work for them right now. It's too much against them to get this moving, but we have to do something.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
This economy and vote Trump, that's all I can say.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
You have a great day,
you
Joe.
You too, sir. Take care. Chris, thank you for waiting. You're on the mark.
Hey, didn't the Republicans agree to a budget amount in that last debt ceiling agreement?
What number do you recall? I'll be honest with you, I don't recall that.
I don't remember the number, but they seem to be trying to cut below that number now for sure. Although they haven't really proposed exactly what it is. And in fact, they can't agree among themselves what it is yet.
Well, what would I guess I'm lost here, Chris, because what did that number represent? If you don't remember the number, what did it represent? Cuts where and what was going to be moved around?
It didn't say what, but it had an amount that the budget was going to be.
The total federal budget.
Yes.
And it wasn't going to exceed that amount. Now, did the Democrats agree to that? Because, boy, I don't remember this at all.
Well, it was that's what the debt ceiling limit was about, was getting an amount for the next budget. That's what we ended up agreeing in order to pass it.
But you and I both know the debt ceiling's a joke. It's a self-imposed limitation that they just make a kabuki dance out of every time that comes up for renewal.
Yes, but they agreed on something to get that by, and it was a budget amount.
Okay,
and now they're trying to cut way below it, from what I understand.
Well, then why isn't somebody like Chuck Schumer reminding them of that? Because I haven't heard him say anything
that. I've heard several Democrats remind them of that.
Well, I haven't. And I've been watching CNN and MSNBC, and I haven't seen a thing about it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to keep looking.
I was wondering whether you still would support Trump with his recent comments about executing the chief of...
General Milley.
General Milley, and removing every Democrat senator from Congress. That's way too much for you, isn't it?
I don't think he was actually advocating that General Milley be executed. He was saying that the crime, what he viewed as his crime, could lead in many cases to execution. He didn't actually call for him to be executed, and that's where I find the left-wing media disingenuous, because that's what Morning Joe and CNN are saying. He called for General Milley to be killed. No, he didn't. He said that the crime in a time of war or in a time of national conflict...
He said he should be executed for treason.
He said he could be executed for treason. Didn't say
I
he should be.
Should was the word, and not could.
I didn't hear should. I heard could. I thought his whole point was, and maybe I missed it, maybe I'm losing a step or two, but I thought what he was saying was that in some countries, and even in this country, that kind of treasonous behavior, if you consider it treason, would be punishable by death. I thought that was his point.
You know what the behavior was supposed to be?
Well, the fact that he said he would call the Chinese communists if he thought we were going to attack them, which presupposes that the president's a raving lunatic and totally out of control, which he wasn't.
He got me confused on that one.
Well, that was his point. He said that he would have called the Chinese if he thought... Remember, there was all this concern about President Trump's
going
to start a war?
To call the Chinese, he should be... It's treason?
Yes.
Understand that.
If he's going... If we were going to declare war on the Chinese, and somebody called them and said, hey, we're going to bomb you, and the fact that our policy was we were going to start this war, that would be treason. That was Trump's point. I don't think it was right, but that was his point.
I don't understand that point at all.
Well, yeah,
it was only if he did something.
That would be like
what he's already done.
No, I think what he was saying. Let's take, for example, a World War II example. If we had called Hitler and said, "Hey, we're going to attack in Normandy on June the 6th," somebody had done that. That would be the ultimate treason. We would execute them for that, would we not? You notify your enemy in time of war what's going to happen. That's treason. That was Trump's point, even though the analogy isn't perfect because we were not at war.
Yep. And it seems to me
the Republicans have been itching to shut down the government, at least the MAGA wing of them, from their election campaigns till now. That was their goal, and they, or Trump, seems to be more in control of the House than McCarthy is.
Well, in some respects, I'm forced to agree with you. I am. I don't think the Republicans set out to shut it down. I just don't think that they feel that they have any other viable alternative. I think the viable alternative is to work across the aisle and see what. I think that the majority of Democrats would concede that we're spending too much money. I think where we're going to get into a problem is in deciding what money to cut. That's where we're going to hit the snag. The Republicans are going to want to cut some things, the Democrats are going to want to cut the other. And in neither case will everybody get what they want. But it seems to me like there's got to be a compromise there somewhere.
I'm not quite sure the Republicans are looking for it because they can't even agree among themselves. That's why nothing's been proposed.
As I said at the start of the program, the Republicans, and I'm a lifelong one, remind me of the dog that finally catches the car and doesn't know what in the heck to do with it. So
they were running as outsiders, and they want to remain outsiders.
Hey, we got
when they're in power.
We got to take our
and
final.
I remember the Republicans. A lot of those guys, like Gates and Jordan and so forth, they don't even seem interested in governing to me.
Well, they do to me, but you know that's the difference. You're a Democrat, I'm a Republican. Hey, thanks, Chris. We got to move on. Joe, stand by. We're going to take your call in just a minute. We've got to take our final break of the day. 570-743-9565. Still plenty of time for your call. Give us one.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
The Shikellamy Braves play on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Pollock is inside Central Mountain Territory, and he's still going to the five! Touchdown, Shikellamy!
Hi, it's Kevin Hurt. Join the Chief, Dave Ritchie, and me Friday night as the Braves host Shamokin. The pregame starts at 6:30, kickoff, and the WKOK Sports YouTube channel starts at 7. Shikellamy Braves football on WKOK is sponsored in part by MidPen Energy, WNL Subaru, and Shamokin Dam Health Center.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there, and around there, and even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
As the leaves change, leave the hiring to Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
And we're back with On the Mark. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. One of our texters says, Chris, if you'd stop watching the mainstream media, you'd understand what Trump meant, but you've been fed lies by the mainstream media. In the past, Miley's treason would have been resulted in execution. Making assurances to a potential enemy, China, is treason. Joe, you're on the mark from Sunbury.
Yeah, I comment on the debt that I... or what we were talking about there with the budget mm-hmm. but that's really not my, well, not much of my interest. But I will say you explained that to Chris, and it, and your the email or the text that you just read did highlight that Chris didn't hear what Millie did to, you know, spark that comment, right? I thought you did a good job trying to, and if he would read up and see what Millie said about warning China, that was pretty bad. Anyhow, back to the budget. I don't know much, but Joe, as you've been in this kind of business for a while, did you ever look at a budget yourself? I mean, were you involved in that and you would...
Yes, I ran radio stations for some 40 years.
So you're familiar that, and I'm not, so would you look back at the previous year's budget?
Oh, yeah.
And say, you know, use that as a framework.
Not only that, but I developed projections so that I could tell what it might be this coming year or the year ahead or two or three years down the road.
So if you've seen something that was unproductive, a show that wasn't getting an audience and then your advertisers were falling off, you would want to cut that maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so a continuing resolution, if you may help me out here, doesn't allow that. Right? You just continue to spend what you spent before.
That's right.
Okay. That is a clue to why it's so popular with our government, both sides, is that nobody has to answer to the voting public, right? I mean, they complain about it. One side will get shut down, and then, you know, they'll say, oh, we're gonna lose our base, or we're going to lose these amount of people on votes. And that's pretty much true. I see how that works. But, then what the problem is again this year is maybe this the group of what do they call them, the Freedom Caucus,
right,
is looking and saying, you know, in 2023 or 2022 or 2021 our budget was boosted up because of COVID, right. So they're saying let's get back to like 2019 where we aren't prepping for COVID and doing giveaways for COVID. Let's get back to there. And the Democrats are glad to say, in my opinion, no, look where we were at 2022, and let's just keep that going. But some people want to get back to like a more normal, if I can put it that way. I may be off base, and Chris can call in and correct everything I say.
Well, you're not off base entirely. I think we'd like to get back to some sense of normalcy. Always remember that, you know, you look at government spending, you look at the way things are going, and you look at the cost of government, which I think is escalating horrendously. I mean, the fact that we have so many people doing so many jobs in so many different departments in so many different places, there's got to be some economies of scale that we could actually gain benefit from. You know, and I think, too, the Biden administration has done some terribly, terrible things, like this border situation. That's putting a tremendous amount of pressure on the budgets of municipalities and states all across the country. Every state's a border state now with all these people coming in. And Biden is might as well be Nero. He's fiddling while Rome burns. I mean, he's doing nothing about it. The czar he put in charge of the border, I don't think she could find her posterior with two hands and a flashlight.
Over the years of, say, the past 20 years or so, what president, even going back to Reagan, wanted to cut the size of government, like the Republicans or Democrats, I don't really recall. But there was one guy that came in who wasn't really a politician. He didn't have
You're thinking of Ross Perot.
He wasn't going to pursue a political career.
You're thinking of Ross Perot?
No, presidents that were elected.
Oh, okay, that were elected?
Yeah, I mean, really cut. Like you said about the regulation, 2-for-1.
Right, okay.
Right? Now, how many presidents have ever even expressed that, you know? But Trump did it, and I had to give him credit that was a start. He didn't even work on the budget. That may have added or subtracted from maybe one little committee or something that or department, but I don't see that gave more freedom to businesses to, you know, get their profitability up and running. But if you would say that, like I've heard this thing about the penny, reduce the whole debt, every department, every spending by one penny. Have you heard of this program?
No.
That has been put out for like 10 years now.
No, hey, listen, we're out of time. Call back tomorrow early and finish your thought.
Well, all right.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call, Joe. No, I haven't heard about reducing the spending by a penny, but I've heard the percentage argument. If we cut government spending by 1% or 2% in every department, we'd save a lot of money. Maybe that's worth looking at. Thank you for participating. We'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. And we are brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. This is WKOK, Sunbury.